Hello everybody, my name is Yakov Kuzyakov, and probably you know my name from some priming concepts and priming studies. But today I will switch to another topic, namely together with my colleagues Ezekiel Bore, Carolina Apostol, Sandra Spielvogel, who is there, and especially Michaela Diepold. We would like to show you some new approach, or comparatively new, position-specific labeling and tracing, how we transfer the theoretical concepts of Paul Dijkstra, who presented it just now, to the real life of soil microorganisms. At first, I would like to go to the fate of carbon of soil in soil, and actually we are frequently thinking it is input. There are some cycling, including various transformation steps, sorption, desorption, utilization, uptake, reutilization by microorganisms, stabilization, and so on. And after a number of cycles, part of this carbon will be released into the atmosphere and into some other parts. The difficulties to investigate these cycles are actually in a problem that these cycles are more or less under steady state. So we cannot measure changes despite the changes are ongoing. And to my knowledge, there is only one approach allowing investigation of the processes under steady state. This is isotopic labeling, and therefore we are here in this room and using various isotopic approaches, because this is only one of the approaches to investigate processes under steady state. And at this point, I would like at first to acknowledge the first labeling studies in soil science, which are already more than 70 years old, which use nitrogen-15, carbon-13, carbon-14, and if you look on the topics, actually the topics are nearly the same, like we investigated now, or partly the same. However, all these studies, and nearly all studies later, used uniformly labeled substances. I would like to explain it shortly on the alanine, similar like Paul Dijkstra presented. Alanine, one of the simple amino acids, has three carbon atoms, and if all carbon atoms are labeled on the same way, on the same, then it's uniformly labeled. However, the unique option of the isotopic approaches is that we can put carbon in the first position in the carboxyl group, or in the alkyl amino group, second group, or in the methyl group, and consequently can trace individual functional groups in some processes. What is the reason for that? For example, if we recover 33% of labeled carbon in a pool, for example in microbial biomass, we tacitly accept that the incorporation of the carbon from individual positions is the same. However, we would get exactly the same result if just 100% from one of the group would be incorporated and into other positions would be not incorporated at all. The big difference between the two, in this case, in the first case, actually the initial molecule will be utilized. In the second, the molecule will be split into the parts. And therefore, position-specific labeling, what is localization of the isotopes in specific position, is very good approach to trace metabolic pathways of individual functional groups. And again, I would like to acknowledge the first studies of position-specific labeling. Up to now, there are only very few. About 40 years ago, Haider and Martin investigated the fate of lignin in soils. And many years ago, about 20 years ago, we investigated the fate of amino acids and nucleic bases and so on. However, at that time the methods were not well developed and analytical techniques. And in the last 5 to 7 years we started to do more applications with this approach. And I would like to present you some studies on examples of alanine, glucose, and palmitate, and some processes related to sorption, desorption, microbial utilization, and external internal recycling. So let us start at first with sorption of alanine as amino acids after decomposition of proteins. coming into the soil solution, and it could be absorbed on various clay minerals, from the ore or iron oxides. And we have done the sorption studies with various clay minerals and iron oxides. Here is presenting only on the hematite. This is the first, second, and third position, and this is uniformly labeled alanine absorbed, and there are about 30% absorbed. There is no significant difference between the positions, and consequently we can conclude the sorption is ongoing as an intact molecule. And using position-specific labeling, we have very good quality control of our experiments, because the average between the positions should correspond to the uniform level substances. Thereafter, we tried to desorb alanine from the hematite and used various dissolving agents, dissolved on exchangeable, ligand exchangeable, and you can recognize all the three positions are exactly the same. I'm not showing more the uniform labeling. We are using this in all of our studies, but this is now just not necessary. But it means if the positions are the same, again, the desorption is also ongoing as intact molecule, and it means in abiotic processes, hematite was sterilized before, actually intact molecules will be involved. Thereafter, we took this hematite with soft alanine and put it into living soil and looked for microbial mineralization, and the picture what you see here is very close to what Paul just presented before. The carboxyl position will be decomposed more strongly, second and third position more slowly. It means we see very strong divergence of fate of carbon between individual positions. So maximal decomposition is common for the maximally oxidized carbon functional group. So we can conclude here that in biotic processes, the molecules will be split. Let us look a little bit. This was done on hematite, and we can compare just as example on the sorption on the smectite. Principle is the same. You see that the carbon from the first position will be mineralized to CO2 much more strong than the second and the third position. And just as suggested by Paul, it is the case that the first position will be respired in glycolysis, and the second and the third position will be respired in the citric acid cycle. It means if we take the ratio between them, and I don't need now to explain the detail, we can look for the pathways of alanine after the adsorption in soil. And if we look at more detail, we can conclude if alanine was absorbed on the smectite, later going into the microbial cells, because of fast release, we have domination of the catabolic processes. It means more will be involved in the citric acid cycle. In contrast, the release of alanine from the iron oxides is much more slowly, and consequently there is no excess of alanine for microorganisms, and then when alanine is going into microbial cells, it will be mainly used for maintenance of proteins and carbohydrates, despite it's truly difficult to tell now what is maintenance according to the previous talk. Let us look a little bit for the maintenance and for the formation of the microbial compounds. So this is alanine which remain in soil, in bulk soil, will be incorporated into microbial biomass and incorporated into the phospholipid fatty acids. Again, nothing remains from the carboxyl group, which again confirms the divergence of the fate of carbon between positions. And if you look a little bit on the pathways, which again we have can compare this for alanine. This is alanine which will be in the first state deaminated, then pyruvate will be produced, and from the pyruvate the carboxyl group will be decarboxylated. The remaining position 2 and position 3 will be converted to acetyl-CoA and will be used actually to produce various compounds, for example, also the lipids. PDFA are actually very good and comparatively simple biomarker for various microbial groups, and consequently, we can trace position-specifically labeled RNA in various microbial groups. So here I've presented various microbial groups, and here incorporation of carbon from first position, second and third position on the day 3, and the first what we can easily recognize that there is no incorporation of carbon from carboxyl group in any of the microbial groups. The position 2 and 3 will be incorporated very similar. It means we can conclude that these two positions have, at least at the beginning, very similar fate. However, one week later, there is some changes, the positions will be split, and it means there is some internal intensive turnover of PLFA is ongoing, loss of the terminal position which was previously position 2. And if we look a little bit more precisely, we can conclude that the incorporation into bacteria over this period of time slightly decreased. However, in other groups, for example, in anaerobes, in fungi and mycorrhizae, slightly increased. It means the metabolic products or necromass of bacteria will be reutilized by other microbial groups. It means we can speak about turnover and recycling and so on. And I think there are actually two potential modes of the recycling of carbon and so on. One recycling is internal recycling, which I am terming as a maintenance, in which the carbon will be recycled within individual cells without big amounts released to the environment. It means carbon stay in individual cells and will not release. Another recycling is some kind of external recycling, when a part of cells die, and then other microorganisms, maybe from the same species, use this carbon and then release it back, and this is recycling between the cells. I have tried to show that the carbon of the terminal positions partly confirm this recycling and the decrease of labeled carbon in bacteria and increase in other groups confirm actually this. But these were more or less indirect confirmations. Let us look a little bit more direct confirmations. For direct confirmations to check this death and grow approach, we took palmitate, which is ubiquitous fatty acids and will be used actually for production of most lipids. And we took this labeled on the first and second position and on the 16th position. So we cannot do experiment with all the positions. It would be too expensive and impossible. However, then it means if these positions will be incorporated in something identical, then it is recycling of the whole molecule without to split it. I presented here incorporation of the three positions in the unsaturated carbon 16 fatty acid, which is biomarker for gram-negative bacteria. And it means actually that the palmitate will be completely reutilized without splitting in individual bond, and the only changes is double bond will be produced on the seventh place, number 7. It means extracellular metabolite recycling in soil is very important, and probably, at least for some groups, some high energy containing molecules is more important than degradation and synthesis in soil. Let us look now a little bit for the internal recycling, and this is part of the cycle which was presented also by Paul. This is a pyruvate which will be produced, for example, from alanine, but also from glucose and some other molecules too. And pyruvate as the third position and the second position go into the citric acid cycle, and first position will be split already before for CO2. And actually later these two positions go into the citric acid cycle, and the second position will be utilized to CO2 or mineralized earlier than the third position. How we can use it? It means if microbial biomass will be formed at this stage, it will contain all the three levels, all the three positions on the same way, on the same mode. If the microbial biomass will be formed from acetyl-CoA here, it will contain only these two positions and will contain not of this position. And if microbial biomass, will be formed from after the citric acid cycle, when this position will be split, it will contain one third level molecule. Let us look for the metabolic tracing of glucose, and many thanks Paul to you that you presented it in much more details and model which I cannot understand at all. But when glucose in the first step by glucolysis will be split in two parts and actually pyruvate will be produced and the same way as we presented before. However, another option is the pentose phosphate cycle, in which one of the terminal positions, the first position, will be split, and from the hexoses, the pentoses will be produced. Now, if we add glucose to the soil and look, for example, for the formation, again, of new formation of palmitate, which is ubiquitous fatty acid, we can recognize interesting situation. So, at first I need to mention that these positions, third and fifth positions, are not possible to purchase, not possible to buy, and therefore we have no data for that. So we are not modeler, we cannot model everything, we just do what is possible to purchase. And you can recognize at first that the first position will be incorporated much less than the second position. It means a part of the pentophosphate cycle, this position will be split, and this is incorporation more or less of the initial second atom from this position. However, it remains also unclear for us how this position will be incorporated. Let us look a little bit further for the formation of glucose amine, which is ubiquitous amino sugar and will be actually is a part of all cell walls of fungi. And here we have another interesting situation. The first and the last positions will be incorporated the same. On the first glance, it means actually that initial glucose will be completely used without splitting of carbon, of in pentose phosphate cycle, will be completely used for the formation of glucose amine just by addition of the amine. However, because these two positions are much less, we should conclude that a part of glucose will be split and then reformed again from these two positions, and which actually shows that in some situation there is internal recycling of the parts of metabolites, that this new production of glucose from this carbon, which have lower energy compared to the energy to the initial glucose. So let me go to the conclusions concerning recycling. We have tried to show that recycling in soils may insist on two modes. The first mode is intracellular mode, which is actually ongoing backward against the energy stock in individual compounds, and in which metabolites from the lower level, which have higher oxidation state, will be reduced and brought back to the, for example, glucose. And there is another option for the extracellular recycling, so exchange between dying and growing microorganisms. And it means intact metabolites from the soil solution will be used, and their incorporation into the cycle depends actually on the metabolites, because they will be incorporated in various parts of this metabolic pathway. And it is very important to consider both recycling modes in the estimation of various ecological parameters, like, for example, carbon usage. Let me go to the final conclusions. I think the position-specific labeling is really a new and unique tool of isotopic approaches, because it gives us much more information very detailed information about the fate of individual functional groups, and it could be important for and could have a lot of advantages for microbial utilizations, for stabilization of carbon, participation of the whole molecule or its parts, fate of functional group, and some other studies too. And I have tried to present at the beginning that there is huge divergence of the positions of carbon depending on their initial oxidation state and depending on functional groups. It means more or less carbon sequestration in soil depends on the functional groups and maybe not only on the either roots or shoots or root exudates or so on. And I have tried to bring some examples about sorption and desorption regions ongoing as intact molecules and of microbial utilization, which show very clearly that the carboxyl group will be mineralized much more strongly than alkyl amino group or a methyl group, for example, in the case of alanine. And we use actually this approach to trace switch of metabolic pathway, for example, in frozen soil, or depending on the excess of carbon in soil, depending on the huge difference of the concentrations in the soil, toxicity effect, and so on. And it's also one of very good way to show different recycling modes between internal recycling, maintenance, and death and growth. It means exchange between the environment, and I think this is one of the fundamental things what we really don't know in soil science. Thank you.
We have 10 minutes of discussion built in, so we can ask Yakov or any of the other speakers if you have questions.
Probably there are more, please.
I'm suggesting that in one cell there's both gluconeogenesis and glycolysis going on at the same time.
It could be at the same time. Sorry. The time question is question which is independent from the cell. So it means one cell can have today, so for example, it can have today glycolysis, and on the next day, if it is necessary to build glucose again, it could be gluconeogenesis. So we have not done the experiments in very short time. This is too much work. I think you can understand how much work is behind. So we cannot tell is it ongoing on the same time or not. But again, I think the most question is, one is a time question. Another question is, if we have here one cell which have, for example, glycolysis, we can have here another cell which is, for example, need to grow, and then another cell can have gluconeogenesis at the same time, but it will be another cell. Billy?
Do you have excellent? I have to go back and learn my biochemistry.
Me too.
Overall, the difference between fungi, eukaryotic, and your bacteria, the bacteria grow logarithmically, and the fungi grow cubic as they expand from hyphae. Overview, or just your feeling from your many experiences, do you see how this would fit into that pattern here? Do you see any differences, or do you sort of pick them the same for bacteria and fungi overall to go the same patterns you have?
I think there are two parts maybe of the question, and for the first part I would just shortly remember the talk of Paul. He mentioned we are all the same, we are not different in the metabolic pathways of from microorganisms. So bacteria and fungi have the same pathways. The question of the growth, how fast bacteria grow and how fast fungi grow, I think it depends on the availability of the substrate and possibility to catch the substrate by bacteria and by fungi. So bacteria can catch substrate which is coming as solution to them very fast, but they cannot really move. In contrast, fungi can move to the substrate, and probably this take time. I cannot be sure now that this is the only option. I cannot tell you that that the fungi grow much slower, but probably the rates are comparatively. But I think it's really the question how each of the group of microorganisms trap the substrate.